Hallo und willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Psychos. Diese Folge ist eine Spezialfolge, da ich dieses Mal nicht mit einem Menschen mit psychischer Erkrankung rede, sondern mit einer Psychologin. Und zwar mit Katharina, die dieses Jahr über Ärzte ohne Grenzen in Moria war und dort hauptsächlich Kinder betreut hat. Es war mir persönlich ein großes Anliegen der aktuellen Situation in Moria, auch über meinen Podcast Aufmerksamkeit zu schenken. Es vergessen, glaube ich, viele, dass das dort nicht einfach eine Menschenmasse ist, sondern einzelne Menschen leben. Und dass eine solche Situation nicht nur generell scheiße ist, weil man zu wenig Essen und kein Bett hat, sondern dass es die Menschen vor allem psychisch auch extrem belastet. Katharina erzählt von traumatisierten Kindern, die vor Krieg und Elend in ihrem Heimatland mit der Hoffnung auf einen sicheren Ort zum Leben geflüchtet sind und jetzt in Moria festsitzen. Von Albträumen, Suizidgedanken und selbstverletzendem Verhalten und darüber, dass ein sicherer Ort die Basis ist, um überhaupt damit beginnen zu können, Traumata aufzuarbeiten. Diese Folge ist auf Englisch. Hi, Katharina. I'm really happy to talk to you today. How are you?
Hello, Valeria. Thank you that you are asking and interested in it. To be honest, it's a quite hard period. Definitely super hard for the people in Lesbos. But even if I'm not there anymore, I'm very affected by the situation there.
Mm-hmm. How are you affected right now?
I'm thinking a lot about all the people there, all the refugees that were so long, or some of them still are living in the street without anything. And it's very hard to imagine how horrible the situation must be for them.
Mm-hmm. For how long were you working there?
I went there at the beginning of this year and I came home at the end of July, so it was a bit more than 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And how was the situation before the fires there? What was the living situation like for the people?
Mm-hmm. So before I went to Moria, I read quite a lot of information about it. I tried to prepare myself, but to be honest, I could not imagine how horrible the situation is. And when I was there and when I saw the living conditions, the camp itself, I was really shocked how it looked there, because there were so many people in such a small space and in so horrible conditions connected with a lack of hygienic things like toilets, showers and mess everywhere. It was really a hard place to stay.
Mm-hmm. And what was your job exactly?
So I was there working as a psychologist for Doctors Without Borders. So my job was work with the patients, mostly with children. So every day I had a lot of children coming to my place that I was working with.
Mm-hmm. How many kids did you support over the time you were working there?
I was trying, actually, when I came home, to think about it and to somehow count it. I had quite a lot of children that we worked together long term. And I had also some patients that I saw once or twice because of some crisis intervention. It was at least, it was more than 50 children that we worked together regularly. Then some children for crisis intervention, some adults for crisis intervention. And then I had about 15 parents or children or 20 that were in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow like this, it's not counted exactly, but yeah, somehow.
And who were those kids, your clients? Could you describe a little bit their family situations and their symptoms, their issues?
Mm-hmm. So when, as I said, I worked mostly with children, and my children were from, or there were kind of three sorts, I would say. The first sort of children were children who were there with family. It means with one or two parents, with some siblings. Then there were children that were there without their parents because parents were not alive anymore or they were lost somewhere during the journey to Greece. And they were in Moria with some other adult person, like uncle or somebody, like older brother, sister. So they were responsible for them. And there was also a lot of people or a lot of children who were there without anybody. And those children were called unaccompanied minors. So these three children. And yeah, the situation of all of them was disaster, was really, really hard. Especially I was very touched by all the children, but especially by the children that were there without their parents, because I think it must be super horrible. And you also ask about the symptoms or the issues.
Mm-hmm.
We had there most of the children, I would say even 90%, 95% of them were talking about three basic symptoms that were very common, which was bedwetting, nightmare, so troubles with sleeping, and aggressivity. So this was something what was very often among all the age groups of children. But then there was a lot of other things. A lot of children were very anxious. They had problems with isolation. They had psychosomatic problems. And quite a lot of children were coming to our place because of suicidal thoughts, even suicidal attempts, self-harm behavior, and because they were victim of sexual violence. So I think those symptoms were most often occurring.
And where were the kids from? And what were their experiences in the past and in their home countries or along the journey?
Mm-hmm. Most of my patients that I worked with, the biggest group were children from Afghanistan. Then I had children from some African countries, most of the time if it was DRC. And then some amount of children were from Syria. From Africa, there were children from different countries, but from Asia, it was mostly from these two countries. And mm-hmm. Yeah, the stories that they were talking about were really very hard to hear. A lot of them had experiences with war, with kind of violence in their home countries. A lot of children, especially boys, because those boys were there in Moria alone. So those were those unaccompanied minors, and they had a lot experience with sexual violence. Especially, it happens very often during the journey to Greece, because it was very often long distance, and during that time they met a lot of people that were not good at all, and a lot of violent behavior happened with smugglers or with kind of forces like police or this type of groups of people. And yeah, some of the children definitely also had some very bad experience from Moria itself.
Mm-hmm. Who decided which kids needed your help? Aren't all of them in need of psychological care?
Oh, definitely. You are totally right that, in my opinion, all of the children there needed kind of support. There were children who were, let's say, having less issues, having good family support. But still, I think the living conditions there were so hard that it would be very useful to support also these children. And unfortunately, because of lack of staff, we had to really prioritize children that we could work with, which means that we were able to work with the most severe cases, unfortunately. And most of the time we decided with which child we will work because there was a system or there were two ways how children could get to our place. The first one was that some organization referred the child or the family to our place. And the second option was that the child was coming because I was working. It was the psychological service was a part of pediatric clinic in Moria. So children or their families were coming because of some somatic problems to our doctors. And in this place, they were talking about the need of psychological care. In both situations, the professional that was talking with the family or the child itself, they wrote kind of referral. And according to the symptoms that were described there, we decided which child is the priority and which child needs to wait. And unfortunately, the waiting list was quite long or very long.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have enough psychologists in Moria?
No. Definitely. There would be... when I was there in Moria, in our organization, Doctors Without Borders, we were sometimes two, sometimes three psychologists for children. I know also that state organizations offered some psychological consultations, and there were also some psychologists. But if you imagine that in that time when I came there, which was January, February, or I came in January, but in that time, January, February, March also, I think there was almost 20,000 people, and 40% of them are children. So you can imagine that it's definitely not enough.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell one or two stories of kids you worked with that stood out to you that you always remember?
I would say that there is a lot of children that I think that I would never forget. And a lot of stories are so hard. But one child, I will try to explain the situation. And I was very touched because it was very hard, a hard story. It was a child, 16 years old. And when he was around 13, he came home once and he didn't find there anybody. So all the family disappeared, and he was waiting alone in the house around 1 year. And then he decided that they will probably not come back. So he decided to go to look for the family in Iran and to look for kind of help or support. And then from Iran, because he was not so successful with the finding the family, he got with some people to Greece. And he was really suffering a lot because he was all the time thinking about his family. And after around 3 months that we worked together, he found out, or somebody from Afghanistan wrote him, that the family was killed. So I think this was really hard to help this child, because he was very suicidal and very, very depressive. So this was one of very, very strong cases. I had also another child, 16 years old boy, was coming 2 times a week, sometimes even often, with quite severe self-harm. Once we even needed to sue it because it was so deep and so horrible. And both these children were living not in the section for unaccompanied minors. They were somewhere in Moria. We called this part jungle. And also during the winter, they didn't have a tent. Once I gave the boy a blanket and he came the next day that it was stolen. So he even didn't have anything to cover himself. And there was a lot of children that were living in these conditions. Or a child, girl, that was 13 years old. And when they tried to escape from Iran to Turkey, on the border, she lost their parents. So their parents stayed in Iran, and she was able to come with the uncle and aunt to Turkey. So she was also very suffering because of this thing that she was separated from the parents. And then I had a lot of children who were raped, and those stories were all the time very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. How exactly did you work with the kids?
It's hard to describe how exactly it was. The hard thing was that we had just a limited amount of sessions, and because of the situation there, because of the conditions, I couldn't count with it that the child will be able to come every week for some period. So we did kind of stabilization, which means that I tried to show the children the interest. I try to look with them for some kind of resources, how they could support themselves, how they can, what they can influence, what they can have in their hands. I try to work on the most difficult symptoms for them, like nightmares with kind of drawing techniques, but the type of work was that we needed to count with it that they maybe don't come next week, so I needed every time to somehow close the session. Mm-hmm. And to we were not able to go somehow deep into traumatic things unless they really wanted to talk about it, but it was very hard type of work.
Yeah. And to what extent was the language barrier a problem?
I was surprised. I have already experienced from a mission in Jordan with Syrian refugees, and also in that time as well as now, I was all the time very surprised how great children cooperate, even if there was this language barrier. So we had a culture mediator, which was translating for me. But I think, I didn't feel that it's kind of difficult things, because those children, they were so great for that somebody is talking to them, that somebody is paying attention to their fears, to their pain, that this was not really a problem, that I didn't know the language, even if I expected that it would be a bigger barrier.
Mm-hmm. Those kids, they experienced so much. What do you think will the psychological long-term consequences be for those kids?
It's very hard to predict these things, and it also depends if there will be some type of care, because some children, they have really great resilience. They have a good mechanism how to deal with difficulties, but what is horrible is that, if I can compare it with the situation with Syrian refugees that I worked with in Jordan, they escaped from the war in that time, and they come to a safe place, and there they could start their life, they could plan, they could do something. But here in Moria, there were children with very traumatic things from the past, and in Moria, it was really not possible to work on these things, because those children were not in a safe place. So if those children will not be in the safe place, it's not possible to somehow make sure that they will have a chance to deal with the traumatic experience from the past. So I really cannot say or predict, but if children stay in the Moria or another camp like this, the chances that they will be able to leave the life somehow successfully, it's very limited. So there is really need of a safe place, and then we can work with the children, and then we can see what is possible to do and how to support them really somehow different way. I don't know if I say it somehow clear.
So first they need a safe place, a safe home, and then we can take care of them psychologically.
Yes, I think the service or the care that we did in Moria was really kind of, I would say, crisis intervention, kind of stabilization, trying to support the most vulnerable children. But I'm convinced that for really psychotherapeutic treatment that is based on the work with their traumatic experience, it's necessary to have a safe place, mm-hmm. which was not Moria.
Yeah. If you'd have to describe the mental health situation in general of the people in Moria, what would you say?
Well, I most of the time I say that I can say what were my patients suffering with, but definitely I heard also quite a lot of things from parents, how they described their problems or how they talked about the situation in the camp. And I think I have two words that are coming into my mind that when people say Moria and mental health or the situation of people, because I think most of them were really somehow broken and they felt a lot of helplessness and hopelessness because they were there so long time, some of them really long time, and they quite often didn't believe that there can be something good for them anymore. They were really, a lot of people were desperate. But yeah, I have this information from my patients or from their parents. There was not done any survey among all the people, and I can imagine that there are also people, their resilience is really much better, but a lot of people were talking about these things.
Mm-hmm. Do the people in Moria notice how leaders of European countries are talking about them and refusing to take care of them? And if so, how does it affect them?
I would say some of them. It was not something that people talk about a lot, because most of the time they talked about problems of the children. So again, I can say what I heard from the parents, but some of them felt when they talked about it, they felt very sorry that their situation is not seen like severe, and they just couldn't imagine. They said very often that they could not imagine that there can be something worse than their home country with a lot of violence and fighting and war. And then they came here to a place which is called like a place with where people feel safety, and when the vulnerable people are supported, and they felt that their situation is like they are treated like animals.
Mm-hmm. How does it affect you personally to work with so many traumatized kids? Do you just get used to it, or are there things you can't really get used to?
I would never say that I could get used to it, but definitely I think that there were things that at the beginning I was shocked, and then I somehow saw so many of these things that my reaction was not so strong anymore. But I think I could never get used to broken souls of children, which is something what we could see quite often. But yes, I was then used to talk about cockroaches, about scabies that they were suffering with, like something what was seen there, like, let's say, something normal, which is not normal at all. But I would be honest that it was a very hard mission for me, and I really needed to somehow concentrate on it, to take care about also about myself, because some of the days I came home totally exhausted, totally sad and desperate that we cannot do anything for this family, for this child. And when they came to our place suffering, talking about that they feel cold, that somebody is doing something wrong to them, there were very limited options what to do with it. So a lot of helplessness and hopelessness was also something what we felt as the workers there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how the situation has changed now after the fires?
About the situation that is there now, it's something that I try to read on internet, on social medias, from various kinds of organizations that post some information, how they work, how they what they face. I have some information from my colleagues that are still there, but I think, definitely it changed to something extremely horrible, and especially the first days when people were on the street without food, without water, in such a hot weather like what is in Greece. I think we cannot imagine how it was. The dignity was somehow totally lost, and a lot of people, what I have information from my colleagues, they don't know what is going to happen with them. And this is also something what is psychologically very hard, what makes people very desperate when they don't know what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for the interest.
Produziert von Malderino Kiesens.